This is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it's the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Perminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE superstar Victor, and you are listening to The Final Count.
That's right, fans. It is that time again. It is the Final Count Spotlight. And on this episode, I'll be joined by OVW star, the master of the Chicago Bear Hug, Steve Michaels. That's right. He'll be joining me in just a few moments. But right now, I want to go ahead and take this time as we start this episode to thank you for all of your following us on Facebook, your liking us on Facebook, your sharing us on Facebook. You're sharing our post, sharing everything that we have to say, sharing any of our posts, liking it, following us, all that good stuff. And then also on the same thing on Instagram and on TikTok. Thank you for following us on both of those social media pages as well as liking us on there and sharing. Same thing with X, formerly known as Twitter. Thank you for following us and liking us on there as well and sharing everything we have on there, or re-Xing it, would you call it, instead of tweeting? I don't know what the term is now. It used to be tweeting, nonetheless. or also by watching us on YouTube. Again, you can watch this interview on YouTube. You won't see the full episode. You'll see the full interview, yes, but you won't see everything that you hear on the audio versions of the podcast. That's as of right now. Maybe eventually we'll get to the full episode being on there. But right now it's currently just the interviews as far as the spotlights. With our main show later in the week, those are different. So with our shows that we release on Saturdays, those are completely different. You get all the episode, minus the plugs from past guests that we've had on, and so on and so forth. But other than that, you get the whole show as far as our main show. But with the spotlights, you just get the spotlight interview. So, yeah, go ahead and check us out on YouTube, on The Final Count on YouTube. And you won't be disappointed that you do. Give us a subscribe over there. Subscribe to us. And tap the bell so you don't miss an upload on YouTube as well. But then again, we want to thank you for all of your viewership on YouTube and for all of your listenership on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on Amazon Music, wherever you might be listening to us on your favorite podcast streaming or podcast listening platform. We want to thank you for your listening. Whether you are one that likes to listen and watch, we want to thank you for all of that. Thank you for all of your support of The Final Count. Thank you for supporting us in ways by using our promo code at ClarnoboBrand.com when you save yourself 10% at checkout and buying yourself that nice shirt, all that swag, that nice swag over there that ClarnoboBrand.com has, the guys over at Clarnobo that they have. And go get yourself a nice shirt from over there, a nice hat from over there. Pick yourself something up Nice from Colin Noble Brand, and use our promo code to save yourself 10% at checkout. And then also, we want to thank you for your support in using our WWE affiliate link when you use or purchase something from WWE.com using our affiliate link. You are supporting us. If you use that affiliate link that is in the description of this episode, you are supporting us. So I want to thank you for that. And then also want to thank you for going and purchasing yourself or that family member that is a wrestling fan in your life. Go and purchase them a official The Final Count t-shirt or hoodie at jcountyapp.com. Again, that's jcountyapp.com. And again, that's you have your t-shirts, the official Final Count t-shirt, and hoodie as well that you can purchase, whether you want to purchase one or both. Go, and there's different colors to choose from. I believe the hoodies are in black and white, and then we have gray, black, and white for the t-shirts. T-shirts are only $25, and hoodies are $45. Go check them out. Go check out our t-shirts and hoodies, the official The Final Count t-shirts and hoodies at jcountyapp.com. Again, that's jcountyapp.com. But without further ado, I want to go ahead and throw it to some plugs, and then we'll be joined by my guest, the master of the Chicago Bear Hug, Steve Michaels. Grab yourself something cold to drink, good to eat, and prepare for this wonderful, awesome spotlight. You can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in the search bar The Final Count KY. Also, I mentioned we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned. I want to go ahead and mention that if you go to ColinElbowBrand.com and use the promo code FinalCountKY, you can save 10% at checkout when you use our promo code, and you will be supporting not only Colin Elbow, but you also be supporting The Final Count and getting merch and all that good stuff. Colin Elbow has good swag. Definitely recommend it. Very comfortable, great fitting swag, t-shirts and shirts. So definitely go over and check out ColinElbowBrand.com. Use the promo code FinalCountKY, that's in all caps, and save yourself 10% at checkout, and tell them The Final Count sent you, and say hi to Al Snow. But with more, speaking of Al Snow, with more on ColinElbowBrand.com, with more on Colin Elbow, here is Al Snow.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
All right, fans, I'm joined now on this week's The Final Count Spotlight by the master of the Chicago Bear Hug, Steve Michaels. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me on this week's Spotlight. I'm excited about getting you on. I know we've talked about it for a while, and I'm finally happy to get this going.
Yeah, I'm glad to finally make it work. You know, schedules are tough, and you know, we're both busy people, so I'm glad we finally got this to happen.
For sure, for sure. So getting right into it, when did you decide to get into the pro wrestling business?
Yeah, so I got into it a little bit later than most people. I started at 28. I wasn't really doing anything with my career of choice. Went out to WrestleMania with one of my friends as a fan. Met Afa and Sika, the Wild Samoans, out there. Did a met them at a meet and greet. Went up to meet Afa, and the first thing he says to me is, "Are you a pro wrestler?" And I looked at him. I'm like, I don't know if I could do it. And he's like, "Well, you never know until you try." That really kind of got the gears turning in my head. And later on that month, at the time, I had my own wrestling podcast with my buddy, and we happened to get media credentials for a local convention up here in Chicago. How we got those media credentials, I have no clue, but we got them. And we went and we interviewed Tommy Dreamer, because both of us were big Tommy Dreamer fans, big ECW fans, and did our interview with him at that convention. Afterwards, Tommy and I were just talking, just kind of shooting the breeze, and he kind of stopped in the middle of the sentence and he was like, "Hey, by the way, I've been meaning to ask, are you a worker?" And I was like, "No, but I've really been thinking about it." And he's like, "Well, I used to be in charge of talent relations at WWE. And when I was in that role, I was told to hire guys that looked like you. So if I was in that position now and you were a wrestler right here, I would be offering you a contract, no questions asked." And, you know, as a fan, I think that's more than enough to kind of get you to really take notice and be like, okay, well, maybe there's something to this. And
yeah,
picked up from Chicago and moved down to Florida and lived in Florida in the Orlando area for 3 years while I started my training.
Nice, nice. That's pretty awesome to have that interaction with Tommy Dreamer like that. Even as a fan. You
know? Yeah, it was really cool. And again, he's one of those guys that I really credit for making me a fan. Because like ECW was my show. Like I would watch that one kind of secret as a kid, you know, because it's on super late at night. And after my parents went to bed, I'd turn on HCTV and watch that. But yeah, it was just a really cool moment and literally changed the course of my career.
Yeah, and I like that also, to point this out, like also that you started out as a podcaster too, and like you, so you know the grind of doing podcasting too. So I like that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I always have a lot of respect for, you know, what podcasters do and what you guys do, because it's not easy. You know, I'm actually going on to co-host a radio show after I'm done doing this. So so I mean, it never, that grind, even now, it still never stops.
Right. Who were some of your inspirations? I assume ECW. But growing up, who were some people you liked to watch and you enjoyed watching?
Yeah, I mean, I think like everybody, you like watching The Rock. You know, I grew up very firmly in the Attitude Era time. So Rock, Stone Cold, you know, seeing the NWO, my dad he was more of a WCW guy than a WWE guy. So, you know, got very familiar with like Sting and the NWO and all that. So those were, as a fan, those were who I always watched. But now as a wrestler, you know, I look more at guys like and appreciate guys like Vader and Bam Bam and Ahmed Johnson and Psycho Sid. I appreciate what those guys did a lot more now.
Right. Okay. Those are some great,
great inspirations right there. And yeah, I agree with you on that about The Rock. Everyone loves The Rock. Like I grew up loving The Rock. I wasn't really a big fan of Stone Cold. My dad actually really loved Stone Cold, and he's the one that got me into liking wrestling and watching wrestling. But I couldn't really get into Stone Cold. I could watch him, but I can't get really into him like a good The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, look, Stone Cold was out there, and he was just raising hell the entire time, and he was just giving stunners indiscriminately to anybody. So
yeah,
it's hard not to like that guy, even when he was a bad guy, because he's just punching people and just taking dudes down.
Right, exactly. Who were you trained by?
So I started off getting trained by the Dudleys. I trained with them for about a year, had a really great time there. Really kind of learned the fundamentals. Serpentico was one of the trainers there as well. So really got a good kind of grasp of the basics there. After that year was up, went over to a school called Pro Wrestling 2.0, which is owned by a former WWE talent by the name of Alex the Pug Porteau. But his head trainer at the time was Jesus Rodriguez, who is better known as Ricardo Rodriguez to the fans. What most fans don't know is he's a hell of a good luchador, really great wrestler, good mind for the business. So it was a switch in styles that I learned. And then after Jesus left and moved on, because I think Jesus went out to Texas, Mecha Wolf came in. Mecha Wolf, who's now over at the NWA, he then became my head trainer, and really learned. I learned so much from both of those men, and still keep up with them, still talk to them to this day, and actually talked to Jesus the other day. But it was really nice to kind of get the basic kind of flooring from the Dudleys and from Devon, and I can never understate what I learned from him, and then go and kind of get that polish from Jesus and Mecca.
Yeah, those are some great people to train under, some great names. Definitely the Dudleys, I mean, and you know, Team 3D and whatever you want to call them, great trainers right there. Was this at Team 3D Academy, I'm assuming?
It was at Team 3D. At that time, that was Caden Carter was training right alongside me and stuff. Like, I mean, it was a heck of a class down there, and really, really proud of having the opportunity to get to train there, even if it was just for a small portion of my training career. And then hopping over to, once I hopped over to 2.0, I mean, we had so many guys coming through there. Robert Martyr trained with me. Mikey Spandex, who left NXT as one of their refs, he trained there with me. He and I had a very, very well-known feud down in Florida. So I was very lucky to train with the people that I did. And I believe that when you kind of look back in history 10 years from now, you know, everyone remembers the 2002 OVW class, right?
Yeah.
I truly believe people are going to look back at the talent that was pumped out of the Florida training schools about 5 years ago and just see all those names just everywhere, because so many of those guys and gals are just killing it no matter where they're at.
Definitely. Now, moving on into the start of your career as far as getting into matches, do you remember your first match? And if so, what was that like?
I do remember it. It was It was against a wrestler by the name of Sweet Thing Willie Brown, who I never saw again after that, and never heard his name mentioned again after that. But it was through Pro Wrestling 2.0. I remember I did a lot more in that match than I really needed to. I went back and rewatched that match a few months ago, actually, just for the hell of it. And I was the moves I was doing, I was like, I don't know why I killed my body in my first match, but I mean, I think we all do. But it was a really great one. I remember I won with a choke slam in that match, and it was a really nice start.
Yeah, I know. I like everyone's first match. It's always, you know, an interesting story. Like no matter who I get on here, it's always there's in a battle royal, or they're in a, you know, whoever their opponent was always interesting. So I love to hear what someone's first match was like and if they remember it or not. While we're talking about matches, if you could pick three matches that you've had thus far in your career, what matches would you pick?
Like favorite matches?
Yes.
I think my first would be the Chicago Street Fight that I had down in Florida with Mikey Spandex. That one really kind of propelled me forward. It really kind of got my name out there in the wrestling scene. And people still talk about that match to this day down in Florida. I would say the match I had at Berwyn Championship Wrestling up here in the Chicago area with Jay Bradley, that was a huge one for me. That one changed the entire direction of where my career went. And I would say there was a match in OVW right after the pandemic break. And it wasn't even a full match. It was a run-in that I did, where against Anthony Katina and Tony Bizzo, where I came in, did a double reverse choke slam on both of them from behind, and then joined the Legacy of Brutality, and became a part of the longest reigning tag champs in OVW history. I say that one because, again, that was a major defining moment in my career.
Definitely. I love how you picked all three of those matches in that order and everything, and you knew which ones. Some people like, and I get it, you know, it's hard and it's tough to pick, you know, your favorite three top matches out of a long history of matches, and so I get that. But I love that you were able to pick those matches. And great segue right here because, well, I'll go ahead and ask it now. How did the match with Jay Bradley in Berwyn Championship Wrestling on September of 2018? How did that match go? What was it like working with Jay Bradley?
Jay gets a bad rap as being like a very unapproachable, because he really kind of has that, he has that facade, and to an extent that's very true. He keeps to himself and he's very, very much, very straightforward, very blunt. That match was, I've told the story a couple times, but that match, Jay was supposed to win that match that night. I was just starting in Berwyn. It was, I think, either my third or fourth match up in Chicago. Really hadn't done much in the business at that point. Went out there, we were supposed to have our, I think it was a 12-minute match. I was going to take the boomstick from Jay, and that's it, end of story. What ended up happening was we hit the cutoff. Jay went, before Jay went to hit the boomstick, he he basically changed the finish and had me go over with the bear hug. Didn't talk about it before, had no clue until we got right to the finish that we were going to do that. The promoter didn't know. Booker had no clue. The Booker was actually kind of an on-screen talent as the commissioner, as most bookers end up being at indie shows, right? And so he was standing right there at ringside, and you know, I beat JJ, tapped out to the bear hug, and I'm leaving, and Booker looks at me, and he's like, and he just kind of raises his hand. I look at him, I'm like, talk to Jay, man. And I just walk to the back, and everyone's like looking at me, and I'm like, I've only been wrestling for a little bit over a year. And I'm like, I don't know what just happened. I don't know. Just talk to him. And he told me after the match was done, he came back to the back, literally like nothing happened. Like that was exactly how the match was supposed to go. Like just went to a seat, sat down, just started getting changed. And I was like, did I misread the match? Like it was like, I thought it was on me for a minute. And I went up to him and he was like, if I beat you, that does nothing for either of us. He was like, people are getting behind you. They're chanting for you the entire match. They were trying to get behind you. And he's like, in reality, they already hate me. You beat their top heel now, and now they can do anything with you. They can push you to the moon. He's like, so it made more sense just to change it. And, you know, I'm forever grateful for him for that, because it was the first time I worked with him. He ended up leaving that company, I think, a month or two later. And then I didn't talk to him for a year. Ended up transitioning. I ended up getting reconnected with him, and he's the person that brought me into OVW.
Wow. And that's really awesome that he was that door to open into OVW. That's really cool. And you're both former Legacy of Brutality members. And
so yeah,
something to say there too. How did you come up with the moniker of the Chicago Bear, the Master of the Chicago Bear Hug?
Actually, I wish I could take the credit for creating it. I have to give credit to a man by the name of Dan Carr. He was the personal trainer down at Team 3D. He still is, I believe he's still the head physical trainer and conditioning coach at Devon Dudley Academy. Dan has a great history of training boxers, training fighters. He actually was the person that created American Gladiators. They did a whole 30 for 30 on him a couple months back, which was wild. But when I was down there, I would, you know, I'm a big dude, but I would do all the core exercises, and I would do them with like the 75 pound punching bag holding them. And I at a point I got to doing about 200 at a clip while holding the bag. And one day he was sitting there and he looked at me and he just kind of was like, you know what you are? You're a bear. He's like, you're fat, but there's muscle under that fat. And he's like, you wouldn't see a grizzly bear and be like, oh, that bear's fat. You'd be like, that's a grizzly bear. He's like, that's what you are. You're the Chicago Bear. That's you. You're the Chicago Bear. And I really rolled with it. And my whole kind of wrestling persona is very much a throwback to the big men of the late 80s, early 90s, which is why I decided to do the bear hug. And Chicago Bear Hug really just all kind of fit, and everything just fell into place, and that's how it came to be.
Wow, I like how that came to be. Now with the bear hug, when you decided to use it, that first time you decided to use it, what was the reaction that you got from using the bear hug?
Yeah, I actually remember it very well. When I did it, my opponent passed out from it. So the ref does the three arm drop. And everybody is so used to nowadays, you'd get the one drop, you get the second drop, and on the third, they kind of hulk up and power out, and no one ever gets to that third drop.
Right.
So they drop the arm the third time. The ref rings the bell, and there was this audible gasp from the crowd because nobody had seen an actual finish where the ref gets to that three and just kind of passes out. And they gasped, and then they started cheering. And I was like, okay, like, this is going to work because it's something different that, that the fans aren't seeing anywhere else.
Definitely. It's like, run with it. Especially exactly. Getting that reaction.
Yeah. And you never know, you know, sometimes it's funny what will get the reaction and what won't, and the things you think will get a reaction don't. And the things that you think won't do. And this was one of those ones, again, like everything just kind of falling into place and working just right that, okay, yeah, this works. We're going to keep doing it.
Definitely. You also have another moniker, Sci-Town Beatdown. How did you choose that moniker?
That was a fan thing. The fans started wanting to, especially once I came up to back to Chicago and started wrestling up here in Chicago again. All the fans, just everyone wants to chant something during matches. And the fans really came up with that. The fans just started chanting Chi-Town Beatdown, because I'm very much a Chicago wrestler. You know, I've got, the Chicago colors on my shirts, and I wear the armband with the flag on it. And so the fans just started chanting Chi-Town Beatdown. And I remember I went to the one fan who really was like pushing it and being like I could tell like that this was the fan that really like started the chant and started. I went up to him. I was like, look, man, I'll give you $20. Like, I want to use this. Like, I'm going to use this in my merch. If he's like, yeah, dude, like he was super cool about it and super excited because, you know, how many times are fans really the impetus for like wrestlers' catchphrases and wrestlers' merchandise and stuff. So, but it really took hold, and no matter where I'm at, you know, whether it's Chicago or Florida or out in Hawaii, like I get it everywhere. I get the Chi-Town Beatdown chants, and it's so cool. I'm glad I have something so catchy for the fans to latch onto.
Definitely. I love that. Wow. Yeah. And like you said, just with the fan, you know, getting that started, like if that was me and you came up to me and was like, hey, I'm going to use that, and you're the one that started it, like, I've been like, no, you keep your $20. I just like that. I, you know, I was like, whoa, wow. I've started numerous chants, and that would be so cool for that to happen. I'm just saying. How did your time in Berwyn Championship Wrestling come to be?
You know, it was, I went there because I wanted to come home. That was really what pushed me. I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Florida. The problem with Florida wrestling, and Serpentico told me this once, is you can, and it's true, you can work every night of the week in Florida if you want, but you're never going to make any money. Everybody and their dad is a wrestler down in Florida, whether they're professionally trained or whether they're backyarders, there's a hundreds and hundreds of wrestlers down there. So there's always people willing to undercut you on what your value is. So, I had to get out, and for me, it was ready. I was ready to come back home to Chicago, and, got a hold of, the booker up in Berwyn, Frankie, and, he liked what he saw. He saw that there was, I wasn't fully polished. I wasn't fully the Steve Michaels that you're seeing today at that point, but he saw enough that he was like, yeah, we'll bring this in and give it a shot. And, had a really great time in Berwyn, had a real, lot of really great moments. Was their heavyweight champion there for a minute, and, Had a lot of really kind of really kind of cool things, and you know, eventually it was time to move on from Berwyn, and eventually it was time to go to greener pastures, and unfortunately the company is no longer in existence, but I had an absolute blast working for them and working for those owners. The owners were absolutely phenomenal to me, as was Frankie and the second booker after that, Schnog. They both were really fantastic to me.
That's awesome. That's really awesome right there. What did it mean to you to become a Pro Wrestling 2.0 heavyweight champion? And also, what was it like working the Storm, the match versus Storm and Mikey Spandex as the special guest referee?
Yeah. So first off, it was really cool for me because to win my first heavyweight title down in Florida at the company that I trained for, that meant a lot. I didn't know I was winning that title until I think it was about a half hour before showtime. Mecha Wolf was booking at the time, and he came up to me and he was like, "You're going over tonight, and you're gonna win the belt." And Storm is such a great guy, a very very much unrecognized talent in the business. Was always so giving to me when I was so green and so new, and he'd been wrestling for a long time. He and I were paired up quite a few times, and every time I got to work with him, he always taught me so much. He would take the time to explain why, explain psychology of why something would work as to why it wouldn't. After the matches, he would give me critiques on, you know, what I could do better or what worked and what didn't. And then to have Mikey as a part of that match, you know, it was, Mikey and I worked matches across multiple companies in Florida, which doesn't happen a lot. There were companies that saw the storylines that we were, the storyline that Mikey and I were doing at Pro Wrestling 2.0. And they were like, "Hey, we want to do this for you. And so we got to go down to Miami and continue this feud and, you know, do it at some other places." And so to have him there meant a lot. Have him be a part of that meant a lot. I still consider him my best friend in this business. I love him to death, and I'm so proud of everything he's accomplished and the things that I know he's going to continue to accomplish.
That's really cool. And that's, had to have definitely done something to, for y'all both to be a part of that in that match. That's very cool. What was it like to getting to work over in Puerto Rico in June of 2019 for New Indie Pro Wrestling? And what was your match with Raymond Cruz like?
Yeah, you know, the Puerto Rico show happened as a result of again, one of the people who I trained with at 2.0, Aries Perez. He and I were really good friends. He's from down there. And he was like, "Hey, there's the show. You want to come with?" And they put me in this match against one of their top guys. And had such a blast, such a good time. After I had that match, there was a promoter from another company that was also on that show. And he came up to the three of us and was like, "Hey, how long are you guys in town?" Mm-hmm. And we're like, "We got a couple more days here." He's like, "I'm running tomorrow if you guys want to work again." And so we literally parlayed that into a second show. And on that show, I got to work my buddy Aries for the very first time. It's interesting. The shows down in Puerto Rico are so different because they're, the ring is in the center of like the arena or the gym. And then there's, you know, a good 50 feet between us and the crowd because the crowd's all in the bleachers. So you really kind of feel like you're on center stage and almost like a no man's land. But it was kind of funny because then you know I'm talking to the guy. I'm like, wow, this is so different. Like I can't believe we're doing this. And but it was such a wonderful experience. I hope to get back down there. Everyone treated me so well, and feel very grateful that. And I think that was 2 years, 3 years in to the business. I got to wrestle in Puerto Rico. You know, it's a legendary place for professional wrestling, and not everyone gets to go, even though a lot of people want to. So the fact that I was able to make it, I feel extremely blessed for that opportunity.
That is very cool that you got to experience that. And then you also got to experience going over to Jamaica and touring over in Jamaica. What was that like?
Jamaica was an interesting trip for me. It didn't turn out the best. We dealt with some really kind of dodgy situations. We were supposed to wrestle 3 shows. We wrestled 1, and then basically told them, all of us collectively on this tour, basically told them, we're not working anymore. We're going. And we ended up staying with the family of one of the workers on the show, just because things just weren't jiving right. Again, it was an experience in the business. You know, it was my first time ever in Jamaica, and to go down there with some of these guys, and to meet some of the kind of journeymen workers from that have been wrestling since, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. And then there's me, who's just this, you know, first generation, you know, wrestler getting this start. It was really nice. Even though it wasn't the greatest situation for me to wrestle in, for me to experience, I'm very grateful for the fact that I got to interact and meet so many wrestlers that I'm still friends with to this day.
Most definitely, most definitely. I wish it would have went better, but still, at least you got to have that experience.
It's a whole thing, and that's a whole podcast episode in and of itself.
Yeah, I got you. Now you mentioned Jay Bradley was the door to getting you into OVW. When you got in that door, how did that actually come to be, and like, how did Jay Bradley get you into OVW?
Yeah, so I was scheduled to go out to Vegas to take part in an Impact tryout seminar, and I reached back out to Frankie Rodriguez, who was the booker, the first booker that brought me into Berwyn, because he and I will still talk every now and then. And I was like, hey, Frankie, I got this cool opportunity to, you know, do a tryout match and cut some promos in front of Impact. And he was like, oh, that's great. He's like, have you talked with Jay? Because, you know, Jay was a part of Impact for quite a while. And I was like, no. I was like, it's been a year since I've even seen him. Like, after that match, I never talked to him again. And he was like, I talk to Jay all the time. He's like, do you want me to, is it cool if I give him your information? And like, maybe he has some advice for how you can, you know, go through this tryout. And I was like, yeah, like, feel free. And I'm not expecting to hear from him, because again, you know, we're not friends on social media. We don't, you know, I haven't heard from him, all this stuff. And about 5 minutes later, I remember I was down at Disney at the time. I was at Disney Springs. 5 minutes later, I get a message back from Frankie. He's like, hey, Jay wants to give you a call. He's like, is it cool? I was like, yeah, please. Jay got a hold of me, and he was like, hey, man. I was like, that's how he's just started. Hey, man. I was like, hey, Jay, like, how's it going? That's okay. Like, very, very dry. And I'm like, okay, he's like, look, what you're doing, it's going to be a cattle call. no one's actually going to get a contract from this. He's like, someone may get a match out of it, but best they're going to probably get you is some extra work as security. He's like, I wouldn't wait too hard on this. And I was like, okay. And then we kind of had a moment of just dead air on the phone. He's like, you know, I'm currently the head trainer at OVW. And we're doing some really good stuff down here. He's like, this coming weekend, he's like, I think that would have been September 11th. He was like, we're doing a big Saturday night special in downtown Louisville. He's like, I won't be able to get you on there. He's like, because that's going to be loaded. He's like, but he's like, would you be willing to come down after that? He's like, the pay wouldn't be great. He's like, and you probably wouldn't be on TV. It would be a dark match. He's like, but Al would get to look at you and maybe it'll lead to something more. And, you know, again, as a fan who grew up, you know, I tape traded to get some of those OVW 2002 tapes, you know, when I was in high school. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'll do it. You know, Louisville's about a 5-hour drive for me. I was like, I'll do it. I'll do the 10-hour round trip. Like, that's cool. And so he's like, okay, yeah. He's like, I'll talk to Al and I'll get you on. And he got me on. I had a dark match. I don't remember exactly who the dark match was against off the top of my head.
AJZ.
It was yeah. AJZ. Yeah. Yeah. He's a good dude. It was AJZ. And then the rest is history. You know, I've been with OVW ever since, and that was September of 2019. And so I've had a nice little run there.
Most definitely. And what was your experience like being a part of the Nightmare Rumbles in OVW?
Man, those are so much fun. I have so much fun at the Rumbles. I think I still hold the record for the most eliminations in a Rumble, which is pretty neat. Cause I think I did that in the 2020 Rumble, where I think I eliminated like 8 or 9 guys. It was something ridiculous. Like I cleared house. But they're so unique, you know? You know, there's so many talent that comes back for it. Some new talent debuts, and you know, to see some of these guys that you haven't seen in a while, or to meet some people that you've been a fan of for a long time is always really cool. And you know, to get to just step in the ring with them, even if it's for a minute, is pretty awesome.
Most definitely. How did you find out you would be a part of Legacy Brutality? With Cashflow, Isaiah Big Zo, and Josh Ashcraft. How was that like, and what was it like working with those guys?
Yeah, those guys are all my brothers. We're still so close. I love all those guys. I had an inkling it was going to happen right before the pandemic. I started hearing rumors that this is what they were going to set up for me. And that was February of 2020 is when I started hearing the rumors. March of 2020, OVW shuts down for 6 months. And during that break, LOB had the tag titles already. LOB works, if people that are listening that don't know, LOB works, worked Freebird rules. So any two members of the LOB become tag champs. So midway through this pandemic, I'm starting to hear now from Brian Kennison. I'm starting to hear now from Al. Hey, it looks like when we come out of this, we're putting you in with LOB. You know, get ready. We're going to have a nice little run for you there. You're going to join these guys. You're going to be their new big guy. Because at that point, Jay had left. Like right before the pandemic, Jay lost a match, basically got fired from the company. And so he was out of LOB. And that really left this void. And they're like, we'll put the Bear in there. We'll put Steve Michaels in there. And I remember when I came that when I joined, the night I joined, the first time I actually physically went out with the LOB, we're standing at the arena in Jeffersonville. And I've got High standing right behind me. And High's super intense. He's always super intense. And he he leans over to me and he looks at me and he's like, if you mess this up, I'm going to stab you. Just straight up. And I'm like, don't worry, I got it. Like, just straight. I was just like, don't worry. Like, I've got this. Because I knew what an opportunity this was for me as well. Like, as a fan and as someone who was familiarized himself very well with the OVW product ahead of joining the company, I knew what LOB meant to the company as a whole. I knew what Cash had done. I knew what Zoe had done. I knew what High had done. I knew what Josh had done. I knew all of it. So for me being the new guy to join that group, I knew I really had to step my game up in order to earn my spot and to earn my keep. And I think I did a pretty good job doing it.
Oh, definitely. And like, I agree with you right there where you said that LOB was like the thing with OVW. Like, LOB is, do you remember Bowling Services?
Yeah.
In OVW? To me, yeah. LOB is just as big, if not bigger, than Bowling Services. You know,
that means a lot.
Today's Bowling Services.
That means a lot to hear, honestly. You know, we looked at every single show like, you know, we knew LOB as a whole was over. We knew every time we go through that curtain, we got that pop. We got that reaction. We got the booze. We got whatever we wanted to get. We got it from the crowd. Our goal was to make other teams. That's all LOB's goal ever was, is let's make these dudes, you know? And even once LOB started to splinter off and you know, High went to do his thing and Cash went to do his thing, that stayed our goal. Like, High went into it like, hey, I'm no longer LOB, but I'm going to make this entire Rush division, you know? And that's really what made LOB work, is we went in there trying to be as selfless as possible, but at the same time, what you saw in the ring was us backstage. We truly are family. We truly are brothers. We love each other, and we're proud of everything that we've done together.
Most definitely. What did it mean to you to be OVW Tag Team Champion as part of LOB?
Dude, it was huge. It was huge for me. I remember after I joined, Josh kind of like handed over, and he was like, because what we did is there were four of us, Josh never took the title. He rarely took the title with. He's like, you know what? You're the new guy. You take this home with you this week. And that's how we did it. We would just kind of rotate each week who brought the title home. It meant so much to me to get to hold that. I knew the lineage of, you know, this title, the Southern Tag Champs. And, you know, knowing that this was a belt that, you know, when it was first created 40 years ago, we probably weren't meant to hold. And to now be, it's on Wikipedia. We are all listed as the longest reigning tag champs in OVW history. Like, that's something that no one could take away from me. No one could take it from any of us. That's the true legacy right there. Like, those are our belts.
Definitely. I completely agree. And the legacy, you talk about the legacy of those titles, just the names that have held those championships. And like you mentioned, I'm glad you said Southern Tag Team Championships, because I've gotten used to it, but it's so difficult to, in a way, as far as I've been into OVW and watching OVW, I've watched since 2004, October of 2004. I've been going to their shows since that, before then, but I've been going to their shows since October of 2004, weekly, just about weekly, up until WWE pulled out, but that's another thing. But
yeah,
I've always known those championships as the Southern Tag Team Championships. So it's kind of hard nowadays to get used to they're the OVW Tag Team Championships. But I love that you pointed that out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a branding thing, you know, like yeah, everything definitely. Is. But, you know, those belts were AWA belts. Like mm-hmm. Like Jerry Lawler held that belt. Like people are just like, oh, yeah, like Brock Lesnar and Shelton Benjamin. Yeah, they held it. But like that lineage is a good 20 years older than that.
Yeah.
And so like, to actually explore that and realize like, and when you hold the belts, like it's the same belts. Like they were old and they were falling apart and they were missing screws and all scratched up and paint chipped. But like the wars and the matches and the wrestlers that held those exact titles, you could feel it when you were holding them and looking at that belt, you knew the history that was in your hands and that you were just lucky enough to be a part of that lineage now.
Definitely. What was your favorite and least favorite gimmick, or what is your favorite and least favorite gimmick match type to work?
I love working hardcore matches and street fights. I have so much fun in them. You know, a lot of people hate doing it. I just have so much fun doing it. It's very creatively freeing for me. That being said, I could never do like a death match, because I can't, like tubes and stuff are beyond me. Like, more power to the wrestlers that do them, because I know a lot of guys that do them, but I can never go that far. But my least favorite match type are ladder matches. Those ladders are the same ladders you get at Home Depot, and none of them are safety rated to 350 pounds. So as a big man, I don't like climbing those ladders.
I can see that.
I was in a ladder match at OVW. It was a tag title ladder match, and I was so adamant about having to climb the ladder that I made sure that we did a spot where I tried to climb up the ladder and I broke one of the rungs off and just looked and was like, see, I can't climb it now. and like just to straight, because I'm like, I'm not doing this. Like,
right.
I have the rung. The rung is actually like behind me. I've kept it.
Wow. That's awesome. What was it like to visit Waverly Hills Sanitarium, stepping away from wrestling for a little bit?
Oh yeah, Waverly Hills was crazy. You know, on the side, I've done like paranormal investigations since I was 18, and to get there, I knew OVW was going to be doing a bit at Waverly, and I very much told the booker, I was like, hey, if you don't have me as a part of this, I am never coming back. And he was like, oh yeah, no, you're going to be a part of it. So we saw some crazy stuff. I saw shadows I can't account for. There was a little bouncy ball that was on the floor in one of these rooms that just started to roll around in a circle on its own. And then once people started showing up, it just stopped, like dead halt stopped. There were voices, like the stories that came out of that night were insane. Wrestling takes you some cool places, and that was That's probably one of the coolest I've gotten to do.
I had to ask that just because of the season, the Halloween season that we're in, and so definitely had to ask you about that. how did you find out LLB would be splitting up?
So once the Rush division became a thing, High was always going to be our Rush division guy. High's a big dude himself, but compared to all the rest of us, he was a small guy. So he started to do the Rush division stuff. They needed cash to do stuff with the heavyweight title picture. Zoe and I were left as the tag team that carrying on the LOB name. And we just, all of us collectively just were like, it's time. Like this needs to end because it wasn't the same. You know, LOB isn't one guy. It's not two guys. It's all of us, you know, it's everybody. It just wasn't clicking the same as it was. And it was time, you know, every good wrestling gimmick, every faction has its day. LOB had been going since 2016. So it was a good, you know, what, 8 years? It was running for. It was time. And so we finally pulled the trigger, and Zoe and I and Josh all split on an episode of TV, and that was it. But I mean, I'm grateful for the time I got to spend with them.
Most definitely. And I hope that LLB at some point or another can make a return or make a comeback or a reunion or something.
Hey, never say never. It's wrestling, you know? And, it's funny how, you know, things that make money will never disappear completely.
That's true. How would you describe your in-ring style to maybe someone who has not seen Steve Michaels wrestle?
Yeah.
Who has not seen you?
I like to consider myself a throwback big man wrestler. Think very much Vader. Think very much Bam Bam. Very methodical, very plotting, very aggressive and in your face. I'll strike you, and if I get my hands on you, that's it. You know, I don't do high-flying moves. I don't do anything flashy. I don't do anything unnecessarily crazy because I don't really need to, you know. I'm a big dude in there, and there's not a lot of true big men in wrestling nowadays. So it's if I get my hands on a wrestler, that's it.
There you go. What is the best advice you have been given thus far in your career?
This is a weird one, but Tama Tonga once told me, never settle. Never settle on being complacent on your spot. Never settle in life if you're not happy. Just never settle. Always keep going until you have what you want, until you're happy with where you are.
Definitely. That's great advice right there. That's some really good advice. And not, like you said, not just for wrestling, for life. So yeah, definitely never settle.
The second best advice, which is equally good, learn not to take bad advice.
I'd say that's equally good as well.
Both have served me very well in professional wrestling.
Definitely. Who would your dream match opponent be? What type of match would it be? And where would the location or venue be?
You know, I would love to wrestle Roman Reigns. I think everybody nowadays would love to wrestle Roman Reigns. He's at the top of his game. I'd love to wrestle him at WrestleMania. Just a straight up fight. I don't think I really need any special stipulations on it. Just put the two big men, put two big alphas in there, and let's see who comes out on top.
Definitely. That'd be a great match. And I hope that can turn out and come to fruition for you, for sure. That'd
be great. I hope so, and I believe that one day it'll happen.
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure. Who have been some of your favorite people to work with in OVW?
Yeah, man, everyone who I've really worked with at OVW has been so great. Jesse Godders is so phenomenal. Such a great mind for the business. He's been doing it for so long and so charismatic, really great guy. Always love working with Luscious Lawrence. Luscious is a phenomenal dude as well. He's a Chicago guy at heart too. Rev Ronnie, brilliant. I haven't really worked with anyone that's been bad. Like, all my experiences have been so positive, but I mean, that says, you know, so much about what the OVW roster is.
Definitely. Definitely. I love the OVW roster. And, you know, I've always said OVW is such a family. Like, it really and truly is, whether you're a wrestler, whether you're a fan, OVW really and truly is a family. Cause I mean, we're around each other. You know, if you're there on Thursdays or back in the day on Wednesdays, you're there every Wednesday night, you're there every nowadays Thursday night, you know, or, you know, whenever the spot shows are, or house shows, whatever you want to call them, or, you know, just whatever, you know, the Saturday night specials. OVW is such a family environment, and it really is true when we say it's family.
It is. Yeah, it really is. And we, you know, we notice when the fans are there. You know, we notice, you know, like, who's there every show. We notice who's not. And, you know, it's something that's not lost on us, that the OVW fans are some of the most loyal fans in the world.
Most definitely. Exactly. What are some of your goals in the next 5 years?
Man, I want to keep seeing OVW grow. I want to take OVW to an even higher level than it's at now. OVW heavyweight title. I would love to have that. I would love to work overseas, possibly do some work over in the UK or Japan, and just continue wrestling across this country. You know, I'm very grateful for the places where I've been able to wrestle already, and I just want to keep that up.
There you go. And I for sure wish you the best on those goals, and I'd love to see you. I mean, I'm sure you will see those goals accomplished. I mean, you've come this far already, so I mean, you know, I'm definitely sure that will all happen for you. What was it like? I'd be remiss if I didn't bring you on and have you talk about this. What was it like to be a part of Wrestlers on Netflix, and any moment of filming that you can remember that sticks out to you the most?
Man, I was there for almost all of it. It was such a unique experience to have those crews all around. The weirdest thing is watching it and seeing, it was almost like an out-of-body experience, because I'm seeing the same day that I lived, but from a different room and from like a different viewpoint. So I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when this happened, but now I'm seeing it from the gorilla position, and I'm seeing what it was like, as opposed to from the LOB locker room. You know, the important thing about it is what you see on that is very real. There truly was no script. That everything that you see, good, bad, it's all true. The people are exactly who you see them as. Like, that's the beauty of this project, is that they didn't have 18 writers on this. This isn't, you know, your polished, normal, you know, wrestling each entertainment show. This is how the sausage is made. And, you know, people really connected with that. You know, there's friends, family that I know that are not wrestling fans that watched every episode and loved every single episode. You know, we've had 5-6 sellout shows in a row now at OVW. Like it's really been great for business, and I'm so glad that I got to be there and be a part of it.
Yes, it's really awesome, and I love to see the growth that it's bringing to OVW, because there's been, like you said, 5-6 sellouts within the last couple weeks in a row, and it's great to see, and I hope that continues, and I hope that it just builds and builds and builds, and I'm really hoping for a second season possibly, and I know we're all probably really hoping that.
Yeah, I mean, just let them know. Make sure you're letting, you know, social media and Netflix know, like, hey, this is what we want to see. There's money there for this. Like, you know, that's what they want to see. You know, I know everybody at OVW is down for it.
Exactly. Where can fans purchase Steve Michaels merch?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/ChicagoBearHug, and you can pick up my traditional bear logo shirt. You could pick up a Chi-Town Beatdown shirt like we talked about earlier. And then I have an I Heart Bear Hugs shirt. That's a wrestling is for everyone shirt. So you can go there. I have a couple shirts that are just show exclusives. You know, I have my current entrance shirt. That's a show exclusive. So if you want that, you got to come out and see me wrestle.
All right, fans, I definitely encourage you to go get your Steve Michaels shirt. And go get your Steve Michaels merchandise, your shirts, all the good stuff. And check out his Pro Wrestling Tees. And go out and check it all out. And if you see him at a show, go up and talk to him. And go up and meet him. He's a great guy. Any upcoming shows you would like to promote?
Yeah. This Sunday, I will be at Pro Wrestling Action down in Sanford, Florida. That's a really great company, one of the best companies down in Florida. The following weekend, I will be in Joliet, Illinois, on Saturday. I think that's November 4th for Rocket Pro Wrestling. That's the main company I wrestle for up in the Chicagoland area. Rocket Pro has such a great roster. They've got wrestlers from the NWA. They've got guys that have been on Impact. They've got a lot of great talent there. So if you're in the Chicago area, check them out. And then the following week, that Thursday, I will actually be back out at Oos Wrestling in Honolulu, Hawaii for their big, I think their final show of the year.
Nice. Fans, if you're in these areas, the areas of these shows, go out and check out all these great wrestling events. Go out and check out Steve Michaels right there in your area if he's at your show. And definitely encourage you, fans, just to support wrestling in general. Pay your hard money, support indie wrestling in general. And then how can promoters contact you for their next show?
Yeah, so you can either get a hold of me via my social media, which is at Chicago Bear Hug for everything. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads. And then, or you can reach out to me via email if you want to book me, do interviews, collabs, whatever. That's stevemichaelsbookings@gmail.com.
All right, promoters, if you're a promoter out there or you're a podcaster out there, go reach out to Steve and get him on your next show. Get him on your podcast as well. And then how can fans find you on social media?
Yep, that you can find me Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, at Chicago Bear Hug.
All right, fans, go follow Steve Michaels on social media, on all his social media. Give him likes, give him shares, follows, all that good stuff. And let him know that you heard on the Final Count. And also, don't forget to support OVW and wrestlers on Netflix. And Steve, for right now, I'd like to thank you for joining me on the Final Count Spotlight, and you're welcome to come back anytime, sir.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
There you have it, fans. That was my interview with the master of the Chicago Bear Hug, Steve Michaels. And again, I'd like to thank Steve for coming on the show on this episode of the Final Count Spotlight. But right now, it's time to announce the next guest for the next episode of the Final Count Spotlight. He is OVW legendary commentator and ring announcer as well. He is the legendary Dean Hill. That's right. Dean Hill will be on the next episode of the Final Count Spotlight. So be sure to come back for the next episode and listen to the episode with my guest, the legendary OVW commentator and ring announcer, Dean Hill. But for now, as I say, every episode and every week, we will see you down the road.